everyone, welcome to Watching the Throne.
A lyrical... Hold on. Lyrical? A garbled nonsense analysis of Kanye West.
Yeah, this is a little out of the ordinary. My name is Chris Lambert.
My name is Travis Bean, and it is out of the ordinary, and there's probably some things we're going to end up complaining about, but I have to say tonight was a special night to be a Kanye fan.
Absolutely. So you can see over Travis's, well, if you're watching like the podcast or the YouTube version, there's the Mercedes-Benz logo shining in the window over our shoulder. That's because we are currently in Atlanta for the Kanye Donda listening party.
We are within like 1,000 feet of Kanye.
Yeah, who's still there.
He's definitely there.
He's definitely there. And I think he's maybe a little mad.
Yeah, he seemed... I mean, it's hard to tell because he had a mask on, but yeah. We sensed anger.
The body language. The body language. So, okay. This listening party. It was amazing on the one hand, because this stadium fits 70,000 people, and it was mostly filled. Like, just the top ring, like, the third level wasn't full of people, but all the first, all the second level. So we're talking, like, 20,000 people, it felt like, 30,000?
Yeah.
More? It was a huge stadium full of people and all Kanye fans.
Yeah, right.
So there was an amazing energy in this place, and it was great for us just to be able to...
Awesome.
See so many Kanye fans, like, just have people excited about Kanye.
Yeah, which isn't typical. Like, usually if I tell someone I like Kanye, it's like, you do? And, like, I have to explain why I do.
Which, there was no defense. It was just like, I love Kanye.
Yeah.
Let's talk. And that was fun, like, all day leading up to the events, like, seeing everybody hyped over the merch.
People actually, like, knowing who we are. Mostly knowing who you are, but, like, sometimes we're like, oh, you're the other. I'm like, yeah, that's me.
Yeah. I liked when they'd be like, hey, could you take the picture?
Yeah. I don't mind that. Yeah. Like, if I don't have to be in a photo, I'm okay.
But it was great, like, getting to meet so many of you, and I'm sure some of you are watching this right now that we got to meet, hey. And then getting into the stadium, there was just this amazing energy. It was, like, kind of breathtaking.
Yeah.
Seeing the setup, because it was pretty simple. It was just the open roof that felt very massive and colossal, with smoke machines emanating this fog up through, which was catching, like, the sunsets.
Mm-hmm.
So you had this very evocative feel that was pretty climactic and epic.
Right.
Leading up to then... sunset and darkness as we just waited.
10 minutes passed, 20 minutes passed, 1 hour, 2 hours.
Yeah, so he was supposed to go on at 8, and he ended up starting around 9:50.
Yeah, it was close to 10, yeah.
Yeah, and that's when things kind of went wrong. So when things started, they immediately went wrong. And the first notes of music that played... were at such a volume that I can't tell right now if I'm screaming or not.
Yeah.
Like,
I felt that way immediately after. It was like, I said something, I was like, oh wait, can I hear myself speaking? Like, I couldn't tell.
Yeah.
It was so loud.
It was, like, the bass was in your bones.
Yeah.
Which
I felt it, like, rattling in my heart, like my sternum. It was crazy.
Which can be cool. Can be cool, but... the speakers felt very... like, imagine the shittiest speakers that you've ever listened to music on.
Yeah.
And then the loudest volume you've ever listened to music on. And just to put it into perspective, you can't really tell the distance between, like, where we are right now in the stadium. I mean, you can tell it's close because you can see the logo back there.
Well, you can see it if you're watching the video. If you're listening to the podcast, you're like, what is happening?
So there's, like, a street. You cross a street, and there's a walkway, and then the stadium's there. And Kanye was testing sounds at various points, like last night and today, and you could hear it in the hotel.
Yeah.
It was that loud. So imagine being inside the building with the roof closed, and these speakers just, like, sending tidal waves of sound crashing over
you. It was unreal. I've definitely never experienced anything like that at a concert before.
No. It had to be the loudest thing I've ever experienced in my entire life.
Yeah.
And on the one hand, that could sound awesome, but it didn't sound awesome.
It wasn't that cool.
You lost almost all of the nuance of the production.
Yeah.
So you couldn't really tell the finer aspects of things.
I guess so. I Yeah, I know what you're saying, and I agree with that. I mean, you definitely could not hear the lyrics, which was kind of a bummer. Mm-hmm. Like, we didn't even know Jay-Z was that, on the song.
That was the big thing.
Yeah.
Like, it was to the point, 90% of the stadium, I want to say, like, maybe more.
Everyone we talked to was like, Jay-Z was on a song?
Jay-Z. I just saw, like, my friend texted me, Jay-Z. Like, I saw on Twitter, Jay-Z. No one knew. And I think that was one of the major, like, I guess we'll get to that as, like, the major point of contention or climax for what may have happened. But it was exciting in the sense that we were getting to hear these songs, and you could clearly tell, like, when Hurricane played, right? Like, this was Hurricane, and you're hearing the beats, or when God Breathed on This played, you're just like, oh, man, this sounds cool. But then at the same time, not being able to really tell who the features were, not being able to tell what a lot of the lines and lyrics were, it was just hard to really get into what was happening.
Yeah. I mean, well,
you were still vibing.
I feel like maybe we had different experiences. I will say that I agree with a lot of what you're saying. And yeah, like, you can't really pick out the nuances of the production. Like, that's for sure. When it's like that thumping and like that bass heavy. But I found that to be a very profound experience, ooh, both on a visual and audio level.
Ooh.
This kind of music is like exactly my vibe, like right up my alley. I am not a traditional like hip hop guy, I think. Like, I love a lot of like old school hip hop, like Public Enemy and Mobb Deep. Like, I love bars and I love like traditional production. But I'm also, I mean, I'm steeped in like rock music and pop music, but also like ambient music. And to me, the sound of this album was so different than anything we've gotten from Kanye, but like hip hop period. Like, it reminds me of like ambient artists I like Tim Hecker and like William Basinski and Grouper. Like, this really like heavy, like resounding sound, to where like, yeah, like maybe I can't pick apart like the exact things that are happening. That'll happen when we can actually hear the full completed thing.
Yeah.
But the experience of being surrounded by that and being enveloped by that, like, that's what I'm looking for in music, and especially Kanye music, is to be overwhelmed. And I found it very overwhelming in a good way. I didn't feel like I wasn't getting the most of it.
Just the track list. Yeah.
I thought you were passing me a note, like, oh, Travis, no, like, no. Stop talking.
No. No, you're good.
So maybe that's more what it is for me is, and we could talk about the visuals too, because I thought that helped as well, but I really liked how, just like big it was. And like, it was kind of more one thing as opposed to like all these like disparate elements I'm trying to pick out. Like, it just like was thumping in my entire body the whole time. And I found that, like, I found it moving many times.
Yeah.
Which is why, like, it didn't bother me as much that I couldn't hear the lyrics. Like, I want to hear the lyrics because I like Kanye. He's a great lyricist. But anytime, the first time I listen to an album, I'm not really that concerned about lyrics. Like, I want
to
be...
vibe.
I want the sound, because to me, a great song can't be great if it just has great lyrics and not a great beat. Like, to me, the beat is first. Like, the sound, the production. Once I have that, once I can get into it, like, then that forms like what the lyrics mean, like what power they can have. So like, I actually thought this was a cool experience to like get what we got, which I found again like overwhelming and awesome. And then we came back here and watched the footage, and I heard some of the lyrics, and there is a little bit of a balance there though, because like, I can now like put the power of the music to the words, and I like that. But in the moment, like, it would have been cool to hear, like, that family song.
Yeah.
When Kanye's, like, on the ground. Like, if I had that then in the moment. So, like, you know, there's good, there's bad. But, like, as a sonic experience, I was like, whoa. Like, I was digging it the whole time.
Yeah, Travis, like, tranced out hard, I think, during No Child Left Behind.
I was like, I didn't know what was happening.
We're like, I'm sitting there waiting, like, oh, I want another verse.
Yeah.
And you're just like, no verse.
I'm just
give me
sitting
the ambience.
In this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what you're talking about with the family, I don't know which song it is on here.
It's
Welcome to My Life or Praise God. It was a Remote Control.
I think it's probably Welcome to My Life.
Okay.
We're guessing because it's fresh.
Yeah, when Kanye was kneeling on the ground the first time, it turned out that some of the lines that we're playing were like, I'm losing my family.
Yeah, right.
And we couldn't hear that at all. So it's just like you hear some of the bass. And that was the other thing. When we watched the stream, I'm pointing at the TV. That's what I'm pointing at. When we watched the stream, there was no bass, which was kind of jarring too, because in the stadium, it was 100% bass. And then on the stream is 0% bass. So something like I Know God Breathed on This in the stadium was just like full of bass and power. And then when we heard it on here, it was very delicate.
Yeah, the whole thing was like that. It was just like very airy. Like you could almost see that being a choice Kanye could make.
Right.
But knowing the bass was there, like it really does give the album a very different feel.
Yeah, so it's such a weird experience, especially too because you had people from the Vegas show saying that this was not the album that they heard.
Right.
That most of the songs didn't get played, that they were hearing fuller, complete songs that had like verses and bars and extended like verses and rapping from Kanye, which is not something that we really got.
Yeah.
There were a few parts where Kanye had like a full verse, but it didn't feel like you were getting songs where Kanye had 2-3 verses on them.
Yeah,
and the features for a long time felt like pretty dominant.
Yeah, right.
Yeah,
and that was kind of what I was getting at earlier when like I like traditional hip hop, but like I don't need a lot of bars, and like I kind of don't from a Kanye album. Like I love listening to Kanye rap. Like don't get me wrong, I don't want to go too far and get banned from being able to host this podcast, but like, I like Kanye the artist, like Kanye the producer, Kanye the guy who like makes this music that feels otherworldly. Like if I'm getting, that's first and foremost what I want from him. And if like he's only able to sprinkle a few bars in there, like I'm okay with that.
I can't, like I can get behind that idea, but I still want like,
I mean, I want both.
Yeah.
It'd be nice.
I want like the glory Kanye. I want like New Slaves. Like,
yeah, right.
I'm liking these.
That.
I'm in it outro Kanye.
Right.
Like, and I didn't feel like I really got that. That's something that I'm kind of like wrestling with right now is I didn't hear a song, and maybe I just need to listen to it like a third time and start picking up like, oh no, that's the verse that I would want, blah, 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 blah. I mean, I think South Carolina, it's listed as South California on this track list that's going around, but Tony Williams, Kanye's cousin, who sings on South Carolina, told me it's called South Carolina.
Okay.
Which maybe
Confirmation.
Yeah, maybe he has it wrong, but that song was really cool because it's like Kanye and Pusha going back and forth.
That was really awesome.
You're getting these like extended bars. I really liked I Know God Breathed on This. And then I think I like Heaven and Hell. We couldn't really tell what was going on during Heaven and Hell, and that's what built up. So you have Kanye. I'm sure a lot of you saw the live stream, and I think that came with the visuals.
The what?
The live stream had not just the audio, but the visuals as well. As from inside the stadium. So you see Kanye like going around this white screen that was on the ground, and it was only used as a screen once, and that was during Moon. They had the Felix Baumgartner jump for Red Bull when he went to like the highest point you can go without being in outer space and leapt down to Earth, which was insane. I remember watching it live. And they just played that for like a minute clip, which it felt kind of like a not big enough use of having a tarp on the ground that you could project a movie screen on. I don't know if he was going to play the commercials and didn't, or if he was going to reveal something else. But when we got to Heaven and Hell, you hear like some of Kanye's parts, and then you hear someone else rapping, and it was indistinct who it was. And as we said, like it's Jay-Z, but none of us in the stadium knew it was Jay-Z. So when we were watching the stream, you see Kanye like holding his hand in the air, like,
yeah,
like, let me hear you. Like, do you realize what's happening? And nobody in the crowd reacted.
Yeah, not really giving a reaction.
There was like no, like,
huge
ovation. Like, there was a larger crowd response for the wave before the show started. Yeah.
And then, for Hurricane.
Yeah, then for, like, anything else throughout the show. And you have Kanye, like, waiting as Jay-Z's rapping, and none of us could tell it's Jay. And then that ends, and that's when Kanye walked and stood in front of the crowd. And our section started chanting, like, Yeezy, Yeezy, Yeezy. And you can hear it a little, but it's not the stadium.
Yeah.
And you're waiting for, like, the stadium to erupt in applause, like, something big. And it's just a staring contest.
Yeah.
Like, the crowd was staring at Kanye. Kanye's staring at the crowd. And then he just walks off. And maybe that was always where the show was supposed to end. Like, and it would make sense. You have the Jay-Z reveal, right? Like, that's the big reveal. Let's kill it there. I'm going to leave. But it just felt like the wrong energy. The stadium didn't feel like they responded to Kanye, and that's because they were deaf from the speakers.
And then they didn't know what they responded to. They didn't know, like, it was over.
Yeah.
There was, like, no direction. And again, you didn't know it was Jay-Z. It's, it was a build to a moment that, like, nobody could quite process.
Yeah, it felt like miscommunication.
Yeah.
Like, Kanye didn't have a big crescendo in what he was doing. He had just kind of made it back to the beginning point from where he started, but he wasn't, like, overly, like, ramped up and then running up and, like, stopping and letting everybody, like, cheer. There was no climactic action from him.
Right.
And then because we missed the climax of Jay-Z, he's waiting for adulation. We were talking, and it was kind of like the opposite of Pinocchio story.
Yeah.
Where, like, Pinocchio story is trying to talk, and everybody's, like, screaming nonstop, like, we love you, you're amazing. The crowd won't leave him alone.
Yeah.
And here, everybody's there to support him.
Yeah.
And just silent.
Yeah, that is, that must be the awkwardness of it. It's like, everyone there, like, loves Kanye. Everyone we talked to, like, was not from Atlanta. Like, they flew from here, drove from here, drove, like, 13 hours. Like, we're all there to support Kanye. And, yeah, this is a very cathartic moment to have Jay back on your song. This album about your mother's coming to an end, like, there's so much wrapped up in it. And you look to the crowd for, like, to, like, approve this catharsis almost.
Yeah.
Like, you did it. But, like, yeah, the miscommunication. Like, we didn't know. It's hard. See, that's what's difficult is, like, I found the whole experience, like, it's still cathartic because, like, even though I can't hear the lyrics, like, I can hear the tone of someone's lyrics. Like, I can tell what the song is doing. I can read Kanye's body language. Like, I found all that very moving. But there at the end, like, if I don't know it's Jay-Z, I don't know it's Jay-Z.
Yeah.
Like, what am I... I don't know what I'm cheering for. So it was... That's the awkwardness of it.
Yeah. And there wasn't something where, like, the lights went out so people knew to, like, stand and applaud the way, like, a final curtain falls on a stage play. There just wasn't... like a trigger for the crowd to erupt, which I guess Jay was supposed to be the trigger, but because we were essentially, like,
deaf,
we couldn't respond to that. So I think it's going to be a weird thing to process just in terms of, like, what people heard, because according to others, that's just not Donda. So it's like, we got the Las Vegas Donda, we got the Atlanta Donda, and we don't know what Donda we're actually going to get if Kanye doesn't hate the album now that, like, this stadium full of people didn't respond the way that he wanted.
Unsere Empfehlung für deinen Podcast? Frisches Obst und knackiges Gemüse von Aldi. Immer günstig und natürlich mit dem Aldi Tiefpreisversprechen. Zum Beispiel knackiges Gemüse, saftiges Obst, frische Backwaren. Kurz gesagt, mehr Frische für alle. Entdecke jetzt viele weitere Angebote zum Tiefpreis in deiner Aldi-Nord-Filiale. Und weiter geht's. Einfach lauschen und genießen. Aldi. Gutes für alle.
Yeah, it's hard to tell if that's what he was... if that was the actual genuine reaction from him. Because, again, you can't see his face.
Yeah.
And we, in that shot we just saw of him, like, it's behind him. Like, you're not really getting anything from him. So I don't know if he was actually upset that nothing's happening. Like, maybe, like... he was just basking in the power of the moment. Because I will say, that shot of him staring at the crowd, it was a very powerful shot.
Yeah.
Like, even if they're not cheering for him, like, the fact that they're just, like, staring at each other, it was almost like a mutual understanding or something. Like, you could also read it that way in a more optimistic way. that, like, that's the opposite energy of Pinocchio's story, is that, like, we no longer see Kane as a saint like we covet. He's just somebody, like, we see. He's a man. Like, we get what he's going through, and there's no need to, like, go ape shit when you see him.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I mean, I'm not in Kane's head. I don't know what he was expecting, what he wanted, so...
I just can't imagine that you have a stadium full of people and you play, like, Jay-Z after 10 yeah. years of, yeah, like, right. there not being a Kanye Jay-Z moment.
That's very true.
And you're just like, they didn't cheer.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't cheer. Like, what's going on?
And Jay should have, like, came out.
Oh, my God.
Like, that's me up there.
Yeah,
oh,
like...
Oh, okay.
Oh. I mean, he was apparently there to record him. Yeah. Like, he was back behind us recording verses. Yeah, that's... I don't know. Maybe he was just frustrated with the audio. Maybe he heard. Yeah. Because, like, he had to have... Unless the acoustics of the place are, like, kinder to the person on the field.
Yeah.
And louder to the audience. He had to have known that the sound was getting washed out or, like, yeah, pummeling or...
That is strange. I mean, obviously, he's heard the song, so, like, he would have a different ear for it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you would think he'd notice that.
Yeah.
And on top of that, I guess he had been... The reports, anyway, that, like, he had been angry kind of throughout the day. So, like, maybe, like, that wasn't helping. Like, you head into the performance and not the best mindset. And, like, there's supposed to be pianos out on the floor. And there were people, like, not dressed in black. And he was yelling at them. Like, you hear all these sayings and... I guess to me it screams like, well, it seems like Kanye doing what he does, like doing things at the last minute and like everything's not ready to go. Like that part of it's maybe the most disappointing because like you wish you'd just get like the full experience.
Like what was he envisioning versus what we got?
Like couldn't you have done all this like a week ago?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. But I also don't know anything about the process. So.
Right. Well, and that's like the Felix Baumgartner video was like, it was only... like situated to one perspective,
right?
So it was upside down to us.
Yeah,
like half the stadium was just seeing an upside down video and being like,
I thought it looked kind of cool though.
I don't know what's going on. I literally thought it was someone like,
oh, you didn't know what it was?
No.
Oh,
I couldn't tell until like halfway through it. I was like, oh, is that a guy skydiving? Because initially it looks like he's like taking off, not falling.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't tell what orientation it was.
Yeah, I could tell that he was just, like, super high up in the air and jumped. Yeah. But I actually didn't. That sounds familiar when you say the Red Bull thing.
Yeah.
But I didn't know what it was in the moment. I just realized it was a dude, like, jumping from really high height. And I was like, oh, that makes sense with what Kanye's talking about. Like, heaven. Yeah, all that shit.
I will say, just... People are always like, you love everything that, like, Kanye does. There were two songs that I didn't really care for. And that was the Junya Watanabe and Remotes.
Yeah.
I think I actively disliked
them. Well, for you, and this is just like something I know about you for forever, movies, music, whatever, like you really don't like repetition that much.
No, I don't like a lot of songs that just like loop or stay one thing, which like is weird. We talked about that a little bit in Streetlights. Like, why do I like Streetlights? Because that's form and function, where it's like the repetition's built into the idea of you are just passing the same streetlight, so it makes sense to repeat. Where, Junya Watanabe, I was just like, okay, this is just...
I mean, maybe once we hear it and learn the narrative, it would make more sense in that way.
That's true.
But for me, sonically, it doesn't bother me at all. If it sounds good, like, and I'm wrapped up in it, like, obviously if something went for too long... Yeah. And it would maybe feel stale after a while, but I just like when things sound good, so I liked it.
What was your favorite?
I'm still a pretty big fan of No Child Left Behind. I mean, that the sound of that is just like, it's special.
Yeah.
I mean, and of course, I mean, Kanye and Pusha Trading Bars, like, that's fucking awesome.
Oh, in South Carolina?
I mean, the fact that exists. Yeah. I'm very happy about that.
Yeah, that was exciting. I think the only reason... Like, I could tell that was Pusha, but it was still something where I was just like, okay, two different people.
Yeah. That Pusha's voice is so unique that, like, he went through the bass. Like, you could hear him.
Yeah.
I knew Pusha and I knew Donda, and like that was about it.
Yeah. It got rough. But it was cool that like Kim and the kids were there.
Yeah, awesome. Like, especially knowing like that he has that song about like I'm losing my wife and my kid, I'm losing my family.
Yeah.
While Donda is speaking over him like about the importance of family, like that's very heavy to like have your family there.
Yeah. And then on Heaven and Hell, he talked about like being single isn't so bad, which like so you have some stuff going on there. And then Kim wore like a red outfit that kind of matched Kanye's outfit. And Kanye's outfit was like,
yeah, I feel like we got to talk about that too.
Like it recalled obviously like My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy era Kanye with the red leather, except this was what, like, was that a Gap jacket, like the round jacket?
It might have been
red?
Yeah,
huh, I hope so. I have it, like, correct me if that's wrong and it wasn't the Gap jacket, but it looked very Gap jacket-y.
And the then puffy coat,
yeah it did. And then he had the red pants and those new Yeezy boots that are like the orange bottoms.
Yeah.
Those were cool. And then of course the mask. This was another new mask.
Yeah. It was it's funny. It reminded me, I don't know exactly what Kanye's doing, like with that whole get up in the mask, but I just watched this movie called Pandora and the Flying Dutchman, and it's an old like movie from the 50s.
Yeah.
And Pandora's like the original woman. And in the movie, he draws a picture of, like, what he thinks Pandora looks like. And this woman gets mad and, like, throws paint over her. And he's like, wait a minute. And he, like, fixes it. And he just, like, gives her a blank face. And I couldn't help but think of that when I saw Kanye. Like, because it molds to his face. But, like, it makes him look like he has a blank face. And I kind of thought, like, maybe that was the commentary, not about Pandora and the Flying Dutchman, but that like it removes the ego. Like it's a humbling thing to do, that like you are just this figure of a man, and like you're doing like what a man can do on this earth. And that like mixed with the red, like, but this is also Kanye.
Yeah.
Like I thought it was, I liked it a lot. Like I thought it was interesting.
Yeah, it seemed like a nice tension, right? Because there's something grandiose about the outfit, but then something like stripped down and humanizing in the dehumanized facial expression.
Yeah I liked it.
It looked cool, like even from way high up it looked cool, but then when we were seeing the visuals in the stream it looked awesome, and some of the photos of Kanye were posting was amazing too. So
speaking of photos of Kanye, posted that the original Runaway photo of like the circle. And, like, it really does look like Runaway, and you almost think like you could look at this as like the next step. Like he's really moved on from this part of his life, like truly connecting with God, like ready to like use these teachings from his mom and like better himself. I don't know, there's like something there that's,
or was it at the part where it's like I'm losing my family?
Yeah.
And that's when the circle was, and it was almost like Runaway.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, you know, what part was it? Like, that was one of the things that we'd need to...
Well, it's also Kanye, so we know it's everything.
It's everything, it's nothing. Don't think about it, but don't stop thinking about it.
I feel like we need to talk about the setup, because I feel like you were wanting more from him. Like, what he was doing, like, with the walking around, and, like, the whole just visuals.
Yeah, like... Because you have this huge white tarp and Kanye walks out and he's isolated and alone, and I wasn't expecting him to like run up and down the field like touchdown and do like the dirty bird, if anybody remembers Jamal Anderson in the 90s for the Falcons.
I get a lot of 90 references today. You referenced Power Rangers, and like the dude driving our Uber was just like stone cold on that.
Just did not give me what I was looking
for. I was
too.
For.
Yeah. There's a giant falcon outside the stadium. Like a giant falcon. And if any of you ever watched the 1995 Power Rangers movie or watched Power Rangers when they transitioned...
Oh, I did watch Power Rangers, but I still didn't really know what you were talking
about.
Did
you see where they transitioned from like the Mighty Morphin Power Rangers to the Ninja Power Rangers?
Or maybe not. No, maybe not that.
Tommy, for a little bit, had like a falcon. After he had like the white tiger Zord, he had like the falcon Zord.
Maybe I would if I saw it, but
it just looks like the falcon Zord.
Yeah.
And I was just like, that falcon's huge. It's like the falcon Zord. And the guy's like,
I'm a grown man.
Get out of my car. Get out of my car. yeah. So I just, as Kanye like walked out, I wasn't expecting him to run all around or like dance the whole time, though he did start off by dancing a little bit. But it just was very stoic throughout. Like, yeah. He ended up kneeling for what felt like 7 to 10 minutes.
Yeah, a lot of kneeling.
Yeah, and then just walked in a square around the space. And it was kind of like a slow, like, I'm going to let the audience see me at all parts of the stadium, which is kind of like a cool idea. I'm going to get close. He did something similar with the St. Pablo tour, where the floating stage went to all four corners of the room.
Right.
So no matter where you were in the room, there was a time where you felt closer to Kanye than anyone else in the room.
Yeah.
Which I think he was doing something similar here, but not much happened. Like, to the point where there were times, like, stretches where I just forgot Kanye was down there. And it's like, oh, like, I haven't been watching, and he's just gone from, like, 7 o'clock in the stadium to 9 o'clock in the stadium.
Right.
So it's like, visually, there wasn't much else, because if you're not looking at him, or if you are and he's not doing anything, there wasn't anything else to kind of pay attention to. Because the screen only got used for Moon.
Right.
So it's not like they were projecting images at times. I was looking up at the ceiling when they first closed it, and you could see people with, like, flashlights near the top. And I thought it was going to be something where, like,
they're going to do something.
The choir was up there, like, singing down at you. And it would just be like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Like, he has a choir on a roof singing down on us, like, raining song down on the stadium. And that didn't happen.
That didn't happen?
No.
Oh, weird.
So I and that's in line with things that Kanye has done in the past. Like, Yeezy Season 3, a lot of the fashion show was, like, the stoic models standing there and not doing anything, which was the same thing with Yeezy Season 4 that was so critically panned.
Right.
Because it was, like, 99-degree weather, and they were passing out, and it was just a lot of not much happening, which tends to be something Vanessa Beecroft likes to do. She likes to have you kind of, not wallow, but, like, really bask in this, like, stillness.
Right.
And I think Kanye probably likes that aesthetic too, and there are times where I think it can work, but it just wasn't enough activity to the point where, like, the energy to me just kind of plummeted from not having much to really go on. I mean, it doesn't plummet in the sense that, like, you're still hearing new music, you're still excited about everything, but when you don't know any of the songs, you heard the pop for Hurricane.
Yeah, right.
Because everybody knows Hurricane, so when it finally played, you feel this, like, energy spike. But if you don't know any of the other songs, it's hard to, like...
Yeah, totally.
There's no
especially when you can't really hear the other songs.
Yeah. I mean, the same thing happened. I've talked about this on the podcast before, but I saw Kid Cudi 3 days before Man on the Moon 2 came out in, like, 2010, 2009, something. 2010? 11? I don't know. But he didn't play any songs from Man on the Moon. So it's like everybody there is wanting to hear Pursuit of Happiness, Day and Night. I wanted to hear Heart of a Lion, but I'm guessing, like, Solo Dolo? I don't know, like, Sky's Falling, like, all these other songs that they love from that album, and he refused to play any of them. And so it was cool to hear all of the new album, but because nobody knew any of the new songs...
Right.
It's just you kind of felt the audience being like, okay, like, that was cool, but, like, where's the song I'm really going to, like, gravitate to? So that was another thing, like, not having the recognizable songs, not having Kanye do much, and then not being able to hear the beauty of the new songs all, I think, kind of combined to, I don't know, just have a weird reaction from the crowd. Or at least leave me, in terms of the show, being like,
yeah,
I'm really happy we got to have this experience, but I wouldn't put it up there in terms of, like, performance as, say, like, the St. Pablo tour or, like, what we've seen of the Yeezus tour, or even what I saw, like, X Games.
Right, yeah. It's funny, like, everything you're describing, like, you wish more would have happened. Like, I totally get that, and, like, that would be cool, but I just feel the exact opposite about every single thing you said.
Okay.
Like, I feel like everything you're pointing out, like, that was the point, to yeah. strip all of that away.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like it can't help that you weren't vibing with the music as much, and you couldn't hear the lyrics, and like that was probably distracting in a way. So you need something to latch onto, and Kanye's not giving it to you.
Yeah, he's like off in a corner.
Right, and it probably helped me that like I was vibing with it. So like, it was a very, I found it transfixing. Like I was into it. Like I was in tune with like the emotion of what I was hearing, and I'm looking at Kanye, and like I'm putting my own energy on him, I guess, like what I'm hearing from the music. But like I feel like I'm getting something from him. Like I feel like the stoicness, the meandering, like that's all part of it. And the way he like wanders like close to the edge of the light, like he's not going out of the light, then sometimes he is out of the light, and the light spreads, and then finally the light like envelops the room, and then he's out on the edge of the tarp, like interacting with people. Like there felt like a progression to all of it, to where like I didn't need like constant action to, and I didn't need like go oh A B C D, like it just felt like a very natural progression. And it felt like, it's funny, watching it on the TV was very different.
Yeah,
because when you're there, like to me it felt like an art installation or something.
Yeah,
like it was kind of cool in that way, and I liked it, like because again I'm mostly there for the music, and Kanye is just like a bonus. And it was cool to see him, and like him walking around, like I don't know, I didn't need anything more. Like I felt the power of it. But then watching the movie, it was it was like certain shots were like clearly set up, and like you, like there was a different aura and power to like some of the stances he had. Like you did feel the motion a little bit more. It was more movie like.
Yeah.
So like, you really feel it when he's kneeling on the ground, and you can finally hear the song about the family, and you can hear Donda. Like that's a very different experience than like you just being in a room and not being able to understand anything, and he's like kneeling.
Yeah.
But again, like I can sense in that family song that like, oh, I know this is an emotional moment, and I know he's on the ground, and there's something almost more powerful about being so far away from him and not being able to like read the exact body energy. All you just see is this man who looks defeated over there. Like all of that, like, I don't know. I was just into it the whole time. Like I didn't need any more from Kanye. See, this is what you're saying. Like you always defend everything Kanye does. Like I kind of am. Like I just take what Kanye's giving me. Like, cause I trust him. I think he's an awesome artist. And like, yeah. I kind of just go with it.
Yeah. I mean, that's fair. I would feel like just in terms of what I know of your tastes, it would align more.
I mean, yeah, it's like so minimal and bare. Like it does remind me of like Abbas Kiarostami and like Yao Fan, the guy I just talked about that made Number 7, oh, yeah. Cherry Lane, and like Maya Deren, like just like experimental, like still stuff. Like I really like stuff like that.
Who did Certified Copy?
That was Abbas. Okay. Kiarostami.
Certified it is a copies, lot like that. Like this meandering movie that's Iranian?
Not much happens. Well, the director's Iranian.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, and not a lot happens, and it's like two people kind of going on a date, but not going on a date, and
they're like a married couple, or like they're divorced, and like, but they're pretending that they don't know each other.
Yeah,
it's a strange movie.
So there's like a lot of beauty in the nuance of it, and I remember Travis like raving about it, and then I watched it, and I was just like,
that is like a quintessential yes, Travis, no, Chris movie.
Yeah, but then like we both watched something like Norte, End of History.
Yeah, right.
And we're both like, that's transcendent and powerful. And that's a movie.
Yeah.
Like, Norte is 4.5 hours. And there are shots that are 10 minutes without a cut. And not a lot happening. It's just like a static shot on somebody like cleaning their house.
Right.
So it's not like we always like.
Yeah, I wonder what it is that like links what we like in like those kinds of aesthetics.
Yeah. Strange, but. Yeah, just kind of left me wanting like a little bit more from everything.
Obviously, like if Kanye ran around and did a bunch of shit, I'm on board. So I agree with you on that.
Yeah, yeah, and we'll see. Like, I think the most curious thing is going to be like, what happens next?
Yeah.
As far as I know, the album's not out.
No.
Let me.
I have a hard time. Would Def Jam say it'll be out by like the morning or something.
So Def Jam initially said midnight.
Right.
At like at 11 p.m. And then
no.
Like
oh god.
Nothing. And then they adjusted it to like 7:23. So like sometime Friday.
7:23 a.m.?
No. Oh, no, like the,
I was like, okay.
The date, July 23rd. And then a guy
Geffelstein?
No. Oh. Theophilus
Theophilus London?
Yeah.
Is that that guy?
Yeah, he said that, you know, Mike Dean and company are pulling an all-nighter, and that Kanye, based on, like, the show, is going to go back and, like, use the energy to, like, fine-tune the album, and that when everybody is fiending for this album as much as everybody is, even the streaming services, Kanye's not going to, like, not give them an album. It's just a matter of when. And it might be in the morning.
I hope he listens to this show so he knows. Like, look, we were vibing with it. We didn't know it was Jay.
We just didn't know it was Jay. Like, don't toss the whole thing. We just didn't know. Could you imagine he just cuts Jay? Because he's like, obviously the people don't like you anymore, Jay.
I don't like that.
No.
No.
Especially because Jay was talking about, like, the throne getting back together, which, like...
Yeah. Watch, we need Throne 2.
We need Throne 2.
It has to happen now.
Maybe we'd cover Throne 1 if we get Throne 2.
Oh. Watch the throne, but, like, they're dads.
Yeah.
It's just, like, just dad energy.
Every song's about, like, their kids.
Yeah, and, like, drinking beer, and eating chips, and watching baseball.
Yeah. Being
every
like,
song.
How much money did your kid raise selling lemonade? $35,000.
Hey, you want to go get a beer? Like, nah, I got to go to the PTA meeting.
Ah.
Oh, like, yeah, I have to actually go to that, too. You want a carpool? Like, yeah, I do.
The Otis sequel is them going to the PTA meeting and just, like, them driving in the stripped-down car with, like, the chains going along the ground. And
Otis read in, but, like, slowed down.
Yeah.
Connie, if you're listening, take it. It's yours.
It's all yours. But we'll see, like, if it's something... Because Life of Pablo dropped at, what was it, 2:30 a.m.? 3 a.m.?
But, after, like, a few days later, right?
Well, yeah. It was the... Madison Square Garden was on February 11th, and nothing happened. And it wasn't until Saturday Night Live, a few days later, on February 13th.
That's right.
And then the album officially came out February 14th. So it was, like, 2 a.m. on the 14th.
Right.
And that could be something that Kanye repeats, like, it comes out in an hour.
Right.
Or it could be something that I think Ye and Kid See Ghost both came out, like, Ye at, like, 9 a.m. and Kid See Ghost at, like, 11:30.
Yeah.
And then what was the other one? Jesus is King came out around noon. So Kanye albums dropping at midnight almost never happens. But we know there's a whole team of people still back there. Yeah. Working. Apparently Kanye slept there last night, so
I know people are gonna be pissed, and like I am definitely disappointed. Like I feel so stupid actually. We made that whole podcast. I'm like, oh, it's ready. Like it's done. Like you heard No Child Left Behind, like that song's done. Like he's ready.
Yeah.
No way. It's never gonna happen. But I don't know. I always trust Kanye and I want him to take as much time as he needs to get it done, and I'm okay waiting, even though I paid a bunch of money to fly out here and like
we could go back over there and just like knock on the door,
demand to hear the finished album.
Yeah. Hey, Kanye, are you still there? Can we hang out?
And he looks out the window. He's like, "Have to watch the throne, guys." Like, yeah, call security.
Yeah, get him out of here. We didn't give him press credentials. We don't want him coming in here.
We didn't get those.
No, we applied. We're like, we have the Kanye podcast. We have the Kanye YouTube channel, and they're like, eh.
We're on the
actually we
the
just,
no list.
We just never heard from them. Maybe they'll get back to us tomorrow and be like, you're approved. And we'll be like...
Because they really... Like, approving us after it's done. Just like the ultimate fuck you.
Yeah. They're like, all right, we'll come back to Atlanta and just wander the stadium. Well, any other thoughts on the experience?
No, it was really awesome. Like, people actually coming up to us and, like, knowing us. Like, that's so awesome. Like, that... Like, it was very... I guess it... Like, you could see that being, like, something that fuels the ego. But, like, I found it very humbling. Like, I was kind of because we started this podcast, like, 6 years ago. And, like, sometimes I think, like, nobody listens to this thing. Like, it's just cool that people just like Kanye. And they like talking about him. And they like two people who are this dedicated. Like, it's awesome to be around that energy.
Yeah, it was very meaningful, because as Travis was saying, we do so much of this in isolation, and we're not part of, like, a company where you're hearing things from people all the time. Right. Like, a lot of our following on Twitter has never listened to the podcast.
Right.
Or watched the YouTube channel. So it's like, you do things, and you're just like, how much of an audience do you really have? How much do people, like, care about what it is?
Right.
And to really, for the first time, have so many people.
There were people, like, waiting in line to talk to us.
Yeah. Like, there's a spontaneous line. And this woman working as, like, a usher at the stadium / security maven.
Yeah.
She was just, like, trying to shuffle people away. And she's, like, watching for 15 minutes.
Yeah,
as, like,
we were there for a while.
People keep coming up to us. And then she's, like, you have to leave. Like, get over there.
I don't know who you are, but get out of here.
What's going on? Just, like, move. And we're like, okay.
Man, but it was so cool. Like, this guy named John brought the Yeezus book, and, like, we signed the Yeezus book.
Yeah, like, we wrote the Yeezus book, and that came out, what, 2019?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like, June of 2019, and that was, like, an undertaking.
Or was it 2018?
It might have been 2018.
I think it was 2018.
Oh, man. Okay, so we have, like, a whole Yeezus book that, like, 3 years later we're getting to, like, sign autographed copies, which was really fun.
Surreal.
Yeah, this was, like, a Super Bowl for us. Like,
it really was. You know what? We might have been more popular than Kanye.
Nah. But at times it felt that way.
There was my favorite one, though. There are these two guys, and I think they were twins. They were literally doing laps around the stadium until they found us. Like, they were jogging by, and they jogged past us, and one of them was like, Chris? Travis? And, like, turned around and was like, good, it's him!
Yeah.
And they were just doing laps.
Yeah, that was really fun. Like, just the fact that, like, they had time to kill, and they're like, we're gonna find Chris and Travis.
We know Kanye will be on time. Let's go run around the stadium.
And they caught it, like, within one lap. Like,
yeah, they did it.
That was pretty good.
Kudos.
That was pretty good. Well, okay, we'll see what the final product is and when it comes out.
I hope I can listen to it on the plane tomorrow.
Yeah, that would be ideal. And if it does come out this weekend, new episodes, like, deconstructing the album, looking at the meaning of songs, lyrics, will start next week. Otherwise,
I don't know what we're going to do. I'm so ready for Donda. If we don't get it, like, I'm supposed to go back to talking about 808s and Heartbreak?
Yeah. Yeah, man. And then My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy.
You're gonna make me talk about those albums? Okay, that doesn't sound so bad.
Yeah, it's not a bad trade-off. But hopefully we have some more information this weekend. And of course we'll be making more YouTube videos as updates. So if you're only listening to the podcast, check out the YouTube. And if you're only watching the YouTube, check out the podcast.
Crisscross.
Crisscross.
All right. Well, I guess there's nothing else to say besides stay wavy.
Benz.